Pastor Ed Taylor with a good question to ask ourselves.
Am I fully obedient to what the Lord has revealed to me? Am I fully obedient to what He's given to me? And the fruit of disobedience will show up in many different areas. It'll show up in your finances. It'll show up in your job. It'll show up in your relationships. It'll show up in your home. It'll show up in your health. Half-hearted obedience or full disobedience will plague you and chase you until you bring it to the cross. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap."
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing.
It's time once again for Abounding Grace, online at AboundingGraceRadio.com. Today, Pastor Ed Taylor returns to his study in Genesis and will be continuing his message, The Wonder of God's Overwhelming Grace. In chapter 12, God makes a powerful promise to Abram and blesses him. Pastor Ed will relate this to our walk with the Lord as God still speaks and uses men and women today, calling them out and blessing them. Let's lean in and listen.
You know, this section of Scripture, this man of faith, this is almost every missionary ties their call to this Scripture. Every church planner ties this call to the Scripture. Everyone that steps out in faith kind of goes back and says, "Oh, the Lord spoke to me through chapter 12. Yes, yes. Get up and go do something different than you're doing right now. Some of you go to a mission, go to the mission field. Some of you go plant a church. I was talking to a brother this afternoon as I did an airport run. I was coming back to the office. I was speaking to him. And what did he do? It's time to step out. He's going to go launch off. Move a couple thousand miles away from Colorado and go obey what God's call upon his life. Get up and get out. And as you get up and get out, what are you going to experience? You're going to experience the I wills of God. What God's going to do on your behalf. You know, we get all into our head like, "Oh, I'm going to do a great work for God. Oh, I'm going to do a great work for God." You're not going to do any great work for God. God is going to do the great work, and you're going to get to be a part of it. It's His work. It's His work. Very painful, painful process for me to learn that in the church planning arena, because originally we were headed to another city. I was so encouraged because, you know, when you're taking a step of faith, some of us, we have to build up our faith, and I'm not a big man of faith, and I'm just, "We're going to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Let's go do it. Let's go do it." Then you go do it, and then you step out, and in that city, the Lord humbled me greatly and sent me back home, almost like saying, "I don't need you here. Go home." What? My whole life was tied to this. This was God's call upon my life, only to hear God say no. It wasn't not here. It was no. Go home. And so we did. Crush my spirit. Crush me completely. But what was being crushed was not God crushing me. He was cutting away the flesh in my life. And I was launching off with all this faith, man-made faith, God-given faith, whatever it was, I don't even know. And my mindset was this: God, I am going to go do a great work for you. That's my heart. And I believe it was as pure as you could get, but obviously God knew there was some impurities in it. "I'm going to go do a great work for you, God. And I'm willing to move my family." And I remember thinking, "I will pump gas for Jesus if I have to. Leave my career, live off of savings, and we will put it all on the line, me and my little family. We will go broke and in debt to do the work of the Lord." And God said, "I don't need you. Go home." And I interpreted that, "I don't need you ever to plant a church. So you just go home and go back to work and be a good little Christian." And that's what I settled. Until God awakened, through a whole series of events, a different call. To a different city, different circumstances. So shocked Marie and I both. A call at which we responded to, but we came to Aurora very different than that other city. Came broken, humbled, alone, because we had a whole team ready with us and going to be a church planning team and it's all going to be great. And nobody came with us this time. It's just me and Marie and the kids. And when we came to this city, I didn't come here to do a great work for God. God said, I'm going to do a great work, Ed. I'm going to do it in this city. If you want to be a part of it, move. And he did. He arranged everything. And I didn't have to leave my career. My career moved me here. They made it all. They did so much for us to bring us here. It was so much the will of God that they literally put our cars on trucks and drove them out here for us. While they put us on a plane, the five of us, with one-way ticket, not a round trip. The company said, we'll pay for one way. You go out and work that job right up here in Aurora on Parker Road where those big four buildings are. I forget the cross there. Is that Yale there, Parker and Yale? I worked in one of those buildings there for many months as we were working. So God wants you to know, wherever you are right now, that he's ready to do a great work. And he invites you to be a part of it. You're not going to be the one doing a great work. It's not you. He calls you. And we thank Abram because he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. It's God's heart to bless you. Somewhere along the way, the church has forgotten this wonderful truth. The priorities of the church at large have shifted away from the loving nature of God, away from his free-flowing blessing, away from a true teaching of the grace of God. It seems like more and more pastors and churches today and more Christians are taught today all about what you need to do for God, what your obligations are, and how unhappy God is with you because you're not doing enough. That is not the word of the Lord. And so you hear over and over, you have to serve, and you need to give more. And I can't believe what kind of church you are. You're not giving enough. You're not serving enough. You're not this enough. And this other church has more numbers, and you're not bringing people to church. And on the list goes. And as a result, you'll find a lot of beaten, frustrated, and guilt-ridden Christians not living up to the standards of the pastors and the hirelings that beat them down every week for their own purposes. All the while, God never stops showering his love and grace and mercy upon your life because he loves you. He loves your family. He loves your children and your grandchildren. He loves you in your singleness as you wait for God's will to be developed. He loves you. And the language of grace is not you have to. Please understand, you have to stay away from sin. That's not the language of grace. You have to give. That's not the language of grace. You have to. No, you know what the language of grace is? Check this out. You get to stay away from sin so you don't wreck your life. You get to give as a response to the overwhelming blessings of God upon your life. You get to serve. Some of you, do you remember how you spent your Saturday nights and your Friday nights? Do you remember how you treated your neighbor? You know, those of you that didn't have a walk with the Lord, do you remember how dark it was? And now, by the grace of God, you get to serve them. You get to love them. You get to help them. How about this one? For some of us, this is me personally, how about this one? You actually now get to care about your neighbor. You get to care about the person on the other side of the fence, their kids running around the park. The families that are moving into the neighborhood, those that are coming in from other countries, you get to care for them now. You get to pray for them. You get to serve them. You get to have hope for them. You get to think of others more highly than yourself. That's the language of grace. And it starts right here. Abram, I want you to understand, you are going to be a part of my blessing forever. It's all going to come through you. This little encounter, it's all going to come through you. And when you and I, when we realize all that God has done, the natural response is, it's loving obedience and growing faith. And I apologize if I have ever misrepresented the grace of God. And for all the other pastors and leaders that have somehow become a barrier between you and a true understanding of the grace of God. Forgive us. And come into a newness of life. Forgive those that have hurt you in the past. And come into the newness of life so that you can enjoy the last days of your life in the grace of God. Using the right language. You could spend the rest of your life upset with the guy that hurt you and waste the rest of your life when you can just instead respond going, you know what, Lord? bad circumstance, something to learn from. I'm going to grow from it. I'm going to move forward and enjoy your grace. I don't have to give anything. And that is, you know, if you want to think about giving, that's such a big deal in churches today. I'll tell you right now, you don't have to give anything to this church. Don't. You walk over to the boss, I can't believe I got to give this old man. I hate old man. Find somebody with a key. We'll give it back. We'll find a guy with the key to those boxes. Give it back. You know what the Bible says? Don't give grudgingly. You want your money? Keep it. Spend it however you want. But just understand, I can't teach you something other than what God has said. And so he says not to give grudgingly, but he says you're to give all that you are as a living sacrifice. Some of you had a brother call on the radio today. They're struggling in one area of their life, but he's also struggling in another area of his life. He's got some big struggles in his life, but he's also, I don't want to go to church anymore. I'm like, dude, go to church. That's a gimme. If you can't do the gimmies, you'll never build up faith to deal with the big ones in your life. Do the easy ones. Giving is a gimme. That's so easy. Write the check. Go to the online and ding, just hit send. I mean, you can do it automatic. It'll just boom, just like the government. Take it right out. As unto the Lord. It's a gimme. And so when you don't follow through with the gimmies in response to the grace of God, maybe you don't fully understand how much God loves you and has taken care of you your entire life. Your entire life. And maybe you don't know yet that it's not about money. It's about your heart, my heart. We'll be learning that here soon because we're going to be looking at the gift of giving this weekend. And we'll see what a beautiful thing it is to give of ourselves unto the Lord. We give first ourselves to the Lord, and then we realize everything belongs to him. That's what Abraham's being asked here. He's not being asked to give a tithe. He's not being asked to, he's saying, okay, this is a big one. You know, he starts big. Hey, I want you to get up and leave. Everything you know, everything you, get up and go, because I've got something I'm going to do for your life, through your life, Abram. I want you to get up and go. I'm going to bless. I'm going to bless. I'm going to bless. God hasn't changed. As a matter of fact, in the new covenant, you have to respond in the new covenant. How much more does God love you in Christ? How much more? It's so much more. You're experiencing so much more than even Abram got to experience. You get to experience and know so much more than even Abram did. Now, this protection, let me just, a quick note here in verse 3. He says, I will bless you, those who bless you, and curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In this Abrahamic covenant, this promise, this protection that's given to Abraham is also that the nation that would come from him, Israel. Every nation that has tried to come against Israel has failed. Babylon, Rome, Egypt, Germany, etc. And I believe we as a country, I believe we as a church have been blessed because of our support of Israel, because of this promise right here. I'm going to bless those who bless you. And we have a heart to bless Israel and to support Israel and to pray for them and to support them in many ways. But understand this, and this is my clarification for you. When we say we support Israel, we are not saying that Israel as a government is flawless. We are not saying that we agree with every decision that people in leadership in Israel have made or going to make. As a matter of fact, most in Israel today are secular and have rejected Messiah. So it's not a blanket approval of even those things that are sinful and anti-God. That doesn't make any sense. So don't let people throw that in the media and things, well, you know, you're support of Israel. Do you support this? Of course not. But we love Israel. Why? Right here. Anyone ever asked you? Take them to Genesis 12. I'll tell you right here. The Bible says, if I bless and care for Israel, I'll be blessed. That's a gimme. I'm taking it. We love, because of Israel, because of Abraham, we're blessed. So I just want to make that clear, because sometimes you get bombarded. Maybe you're talking about it at work, and so I can't believe it. Do you agree with it? No, we don't agree with sinful things. We'd say the same for our government. We love our country. We support our country. Everyone that's given their lives, serving the military. Yes. Does that mean we agree with every decision? Absolutely not. We all have blood on our hands. There's not an innocent one among us. And where do we hide? We hide in the grace of God, his forgiveness. his goodness. So Abram responds. Notice in verse 4. So Abram departed. Let me just ask you to mark this. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. You want that to be your life. God tells you to do something, you want to do it. There's no time that passes. This is the response that he gives. He left. And it says, Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and he took his wife, Sarai, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountains east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now, you can jot this down in chapter 11 and beginning in verse 27. We didn't cover it very deeply last time, but this is the overview of Abram's life. And you'll notice in verse 31 that Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out from them from Ur to the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So that's the summary of his life, and now we're coming to chapter 12, where we're getting it laid out a little bit more in depth and in detail. Abram left with his father and took a pit stop in Haran. Now, many look at this, and there's some debate on this, but I tend to agree with the side that this is an example of half-hearted obedience. Abram was told to leave his home and his family behind. Haran was about halfway between Ur and Canaan, and going halfway is not the way of obedience. Going halfway is not the way of obedience. You may view it a little bit differently, and that's okay. You say, well, he got up and he obeyed and he left, and you come to the conclusion it was full obedience. To me, it's not a debatable issue and nothing to argue about. But I noticed that there was a pause. And many times people will, and I'm sharing this with you so you don't make this mistake. Many times, especially in this day in the Western church and the way things are comfort and ease, they mistake half-hearted obedience for complete obedience and wonder why they're always battling and struggling. Why their whole identity now has become struggling. And you have to ask yourself, am I fully obedient to what the Lord has revealed to me? Am I fully obedient to what he's given to me? And the fruit of disobedience will show up in many different areas. It'll show up in your finances. It'll show up in your job. It'll show up in your relationships. It'll show up in your home. It'll show up in your health. Half-hearted obedience or full disobedience will plague you and chase you until you bring it to the cross. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And that is a promise that goes both ways. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap everlasting life. It's your choice. Scholars believe that Abram spent and wasted some 15 years in Haran. God doesn't speak again to Abram until he leaves Haran. There was nothing to say to him until he was fully ready to obey. And so obey God when he tells you to do something, when his word tells you to leave, to avoid that, to embrace this, to step out, to trust him, because the heavens will be silent until you fully obey. So Abram's on the move again, beginning in verse 7. God appears to him. And he comes to the place in verse 7, I'm going to give you this land, and he built an altar there. You notice that also in verse 8, he built an altar. And the area he is in verse 8 is at Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. Ai means a place of ruin. And as we get into Joshua, you know that it was a ruinous place for the children of Israel. It was in Bethel that God's presence, there was God built an altar, where an altar was built, and Abram worshiped and called upon the name of the Lord. And as he's moving forward, worshiping, God is moving you, worship. God is moving you, worship. God is leading you, worship. God is blessing you, worship. That's the proper response. The proper response in our lives is not complaining and murmuring, but worshiping. Worshiping God. So he comes to Bethel, he pitches his tent, he builds an altar, he starts journeying again in verse 9, and there's a famine in the land. And Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. Abram took this massive step of faith, left everything, half-hearted obedience, but nonetheless. And the first big test, he looks to Egypt for help. You Bible students know that Egypt is often a type and a picture of the world. Many times Egypt is used as a picture of our own flesh and our own devices and resources. And the famine scared him. Have you noticed in the news recently that they're speaking about food shortages? You see that in the markets. The shelves are very different. They talked about grain shortages because of what's happening in Ukraine. And I dare say this is a word for someone. You are scared. You're scared. And the temptation will be, when you're scared, to not trust in the Lord. That's the temptation. Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. We're so used to getting 2 loaves of bread, aren't we? We're so used to buying 12 cans of tomato sauce. We're so used to things that most of the world doesn't have access to. And it's conditioned us to trust in the arm of man. I don't know, you're just going to have to sort it out. I know there are times when I do and times when I don't. You just have to sort it out for yourself. I don't know where you are in that. But now when times get tough, just know that there is a temptation before sin. There is always the temptation before sin. And it's the place of temptation where you can avoid sin. Right there, it's the place of temptation. So you're walking through and you go, oh, the empty shelves. Oh, I hear the news. Oh, it's very much in the last days. It talks about famines coming into the land. Yes, it could very well be. We, in our generation, we're going to face very, very difficult, hard times. And some of you may even, we saw it during COVID, they're hoarding, of all things, toilet paper. That was the big deal. It was a manipulative work of our culture to get your basement filled with toilet paper. Are you going to write a diary on them, or what are you going to do with it? Like, but here's the thing, what God's prepping the church for. In response to difficulties in the world, in response, you may find it necessary to take some food and store it away for a difficult day. That's nothing wrong with that. Being prepared for the future, being prepared. Joseph did that in the 7 years of famine. Nothing wrong with that. It's very biblical. But understand this. There is the temptation to trust in the arm and the hand of God. Like, you have that new story, it scares you, and you're waiting for the new story that's going to encourage you. Oh, there's more grain. Ah, yes, there's more grain. No. The faithfulness of God. It's his faithfulness. And if you do, and I think it would be great if you choose this, if you do look forward to stocking and preparing for the future, just understand this. It is not only for you. So make sure that you remember the world in which you live.
This is Abounding Grace with our Bible teacher and pastor, Ed Taylor. Want to hear this again or share it with someone? Just go online to aboundinggraceradio.com or listen through the Calvary Church app. You can search for Ed Taylor to download that today. Look for our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. And today we are excited to tell you about a book written by Andrew Murray on the subject of humility. Of course, there was no one more humble than our Lord Jesus. He modeled it so beautifully for us. And now he calls us to follow in his footsteps. Andrew Murray takes the reader on a journey toward holiness and humility in this excellent book. And we want to get it into your hands today when you support Abounding Grace with a gift of $25 or more. Call 877-30-GRACE, or you can order it online at calvaryco.store. Thank you for remembering us in your prayers and giving to the Lord. Your gift, whatever the size, will serve to help us reach thousands with the message of Christ. Reach us toll-free at 877-30-GRACE. If you'd just like to make a donation and you're not interested in the pick of the month, you can go online to aboundinggraceradio.com. Please connect with us through social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. There's a link to each at AboundingGraceRadio.com. We've got another study in Genesis to look forward to tomorrow on Abounding Grace with Pastor Ed Taylor. May God richly bless you with His abounding grace.
This is amazing grace.
Abounding Grace is brought to you by Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado, and online at AboundingGraceRadio.com.